Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this special Thanksgiving message from my dad, Pastor Salem. Thanksgiving is a time to reflect on God's faithfulness. We give thanks to God for your prayers, love, and financial support. If God is using this ministry in your life, we invite you to share our services with your family and friends this season. A recent note of thanks came our way and it reads, "Thanks to all of you at CWH for serving the Lord in this faithful ministry. We are blessed to partner with you in a small way. Pastor Salem remains a joy to us. His taped messages are a timeless treasure of truth. God's love and the revelation of our beautiful, beautiful Jesus. It is our hope Dad's message, when Paul and Silas gave thanks, will draw you closer to our Savior this week. May the Lord bless you this season as you gather with others. We pray the Lord's presence will fill your hearts with love. God bless you."
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy that we can come and join you and be in your homes, in your apartments, or whatever. We just thank you for opening your door for us, and we're just glad to join you today. And we have a special service today because it's Thanksgiving service. And this Thursday, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving all around America. But all over the world, we should be thankful people. So this is a message for everybody, this wonderful, wonderful time of giving thanks to God. And so we're looking at Psalm 100, which reads, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that he that is the Lord, he is God, that he has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations." And Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so faithful and so, and you help us and watch over us day by day and week by week and year by year and some of us for many years. And you've always been with your people helping them. And this week we're thanking, Lord, for all the blessings you've given us. And may all we say and do today honor you and bless your name. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Barb's going to sing a nice song. I know you're going to enjoy it. "The Family of God," and bless you, Barb.
I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. Now you'll notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're family, and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory. In this family so dear, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. Mm-hmm. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm part of the family of God.
Well, thank you, Barb. God bless you. And as she was singing, I was thinking, are you a member of the family of God? And you say, well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then that's because you're not a member of the family of God. And you say, well, I'd like to be. I'd like to know more about it. And I'll tell you how you join the family of God. Anybody can join. It doesn't matter how wicked you have been. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus. I have a daughter, 5 years old, accepted Jesus. It doesn't matter about age or anything else. And what it really means is you just ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins, because we're all sinners. We've all done something wrong. And we can never enter sin. If you stole one little green apple, you can't get into heaven. Not one speck of sin. And so we come to Jesus and we tell Him, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you and I'm sorry. And I ask you, just please come into my heart. Wash away my sins in the blood of the Lamb. You don't get all of that. Just say, just ask Jesus to come into my heart and take away my sins. And then you tell Him you'll serve Him the best you can, because Jesus always taught repentance. He said, you know, to the woman, go and sin no more. And that is that she'd never sin again, but He says, change your lifestyle. You walk with me. And so He says, I'll follow you. And then just thank Him. And if you make that prayer, God will save you, and you're a part of the family of God that very second. So I hope you made that prayer. And if you did, then a little bit later we'll give you our address. We'll send you some literature. But we want to share some of the letters, and we just thank you so many for writing, and we read every letter. And we pray for you. If you have a prayer request, we pray for you. And we just enjoy hearing from you. So I want to share some of the letters. And the first one we have is from St. Paul, Minnesota. And this is a lady, and she writes, I accepted Jesus through Christian Worship Hour. I accepted Jesus when I said the words at home during your program. And so it doesn't matter where you are. You could be in a church. You could be out in the country. You could be your home. You could be in your truck, and you could stop your truck and pray and just ask Jesus to come into your heart. And if you ask, He'll come, because He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. He wants to come in, but He'll never come in unless you ask Him. Let's see. Here's Dublin, Virginia. In this jail, I did ask Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me. Now listen to this. I'm 80 and he's in prison. I'm 80 and he accepted Jesus. He says, I'm 80, scared and have trouble sleeping at night. I know that Jesus died on a cross for my sin. And he's asked Jesus to come into his heart. And he's a part of the family of God and he's saved. And you know, friends, when you get to be 80 and 90, not many come to Jesus. You get too set. You're just a mutt in a rut. And not many turn to the Lord. It's the younger people. But God can save the old. And some of the old ones come. And here he is, 80 years old in prison. And now he's a child of God. And when he leaves this world, he won't be in prison. He'll be in that beautiful city of God. Isn't that wonderful? That's the gospel. Let's see. Rapid City, South Dakota. Please send us a copy of your seminar for small churches. We're a member of a small church trying to build membership. This may help us with ideas to do so. And so this is the seminar for small churches. We have on CDs and DVDs, and we send it free and postpaid. And it's 52 minutes in length. And what it is, it's mainly for the pastors of small churches to encourage them and to help them in the ministry. But you lay people need to read this too, because you'll know how you can help your pastor and work with him. And instead of being a headache to him, and some of you, I've been in the ministry a long time, and some of them you can give you a headache so fast, make your head swim. Don't be one of those kind. Be one that they can count on and depend on. And so this little small churches, and I know it'll help you. Now, I want everybody to listen to this one. You women, wake your husbands up. This is a letter from Guyana, South America. And it is a beautiful letter. And it writes like this. I am 80 years old. I'm an elder of a church in Guyana, South America. Please pray for my country, Guyana. For politicians are destroying that beautiful country with so much wealth God has given us. I urge listeners to support your work for the Lord and with their giving and offerings and tithes. Despite your age of 96 years, you can still find joy in preaching the Lord's message of hope. Now listen to what he writes here. The pearly gates of heaven will fling open for you to enter the golden city of God that has been prepared for you only if you open your heart and let Jesus enter. God bless you. When I read that thing, I got a little teary. Here is a dear brother. He's 3,000. I wondered how far it was, and I got a smartphone. My son Michael got me a smartphone, and is a lot smarter than I am, I can tell you that. And so you can talk to him and he'll answer you. And I ask, I says, how far is it from Aberdeen, South Dakota to Guyana, South America? And she said, 3,590 miles. And then she said, as the crow flies. I thought, what does she know about a crow flying? But here it is, 3,590 miles apart. Two old duffers, 80 years old and 96 years old, and we've never seen each other, and we never will till we get to heaven. But what is he saying? Listen to what he says. You're going to get into that golden city of God prepared for you only if you open your heart and let Jesus enter. That's exactly the words I use. We never met. How would he know how to use those words? He's reading his Bible. There's only one way to heaven, Jesus, that wonderful Jesus. And you have to ask him into your heart. And if you don't ask him into your heart, and if you die without Jesus, you're going to be in hell just as sure as the world. And so it's your choice. You know, nobody can put you any place. They can't put you in heaven or hell. You make that choice. And here you are, this brother is telling you, you're just going to enter those golden city. You're going to enter that city of gold if you let Jesus come into your heart. Now, we're just praying that right during the message and right during our talking, you pray to have Jesus come into your heart. Here's one from Brookings, South Dakota, and I like this one. He says, I've watched your ministry grow all over the world. You gave the devil a big black eye. keep up the good work. Well, I'm sure glad to hear that. I'll give him a black eye. God bless you. I got to keep that letter. Here's Salem, Oregon. And here's something. This is a young man. And it's something we can all learn from. Sad to say, I'm in prison for assaulting someone that publicly disrespected me. I didn't mean to hurt him. I just snapped and I hurt him. I was sentenced to 7.5 years with 3 years probation and $41,000 restitution to pay back. And then this is what he writes. When God says to forgive, he means it. I didn't forgive, and I let my hatred grow to the point of almost murder. The saddest part is it was all over just with words. His opinion of me, just words. I should have prayed and looked to Jesus and thought of how valued and loved I am in his eyes. It really destroyed my testimony for Jesus. The good thing is Jesus can take my life and use it for his glory. God bless you and keep up the good work. And I thought, if that young man didn't give me a message, you've got to forgive. You can't hold a grudge. Jesus said to forgive. And if you don't forgive, it'll just hurt you. It's like somebody said, when you hold a grudge and you hate somebody, it's like eating poison and hope it'll kill the other person. And it'll hurt you more than anybody. And here he's in prison. But listen what he says. He says, I know I can be a testimony for Jesus. I know Jesus loves me. And you bet he does love you. He loves everybody in prison. We hear from so many. I'm going to pray for the prisoners today in my sermon and in my service. And it's just all over. Just no matter what you've done, you ask Jesus to forgive you. And then you can just serve him. And you can serve him in the prison. Shine for Jesus. Let's see, Sioux City, Iowa. Watching your Christian Worship Hour has been a great thing for me. There are times when I get off track and I pray to repent of my sins, making way for the better ways. Asking Jesus into my life is the best thing I've done. Please help me with this. And so that's the good message of the gospel. No matter how many times we fail, if we go back to Jesus, he'll forgive us. Yeah, he tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know how many times in 96 years that I prayed that prayer, because I failed the Lord many, many times. But every time I fail him, I ask him to forgive me. And he says, my grace is greater than all your sins. He says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And he'll forgive me every time. Praise the Lord. One more letter, a little short letter here. Port Graham, Alaska. Thank you for your program. Me and my fiance try to watch every Sunday. We live in a small village in Alaska. And I just want to say we're just so happy that they could join us and be with us. And wherever you are, Alaska or any part of the world, we hear from all parts of the world, and we're all worshiping the Lord together. And by shortwave radio, they tell us that we cover 90% of the world's population. And so we can give you the good news that the Lord will save you and the Lord will bless and help you all the way. And at last, like our brother from South America, he'll take us to heaven when we die. So if you'd like to write to us, if you've accepted the Lord, even while I've been talking, or if you'd like to have some information, or if you'd like to just tell us about your work, or better yet, if you want to send a gift, because we have to have your help. And James says, you have not because you ask not. So we're asking you to help us. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. I'm going to give that a little slower for those of you on shortwave because you don't have a screen there. And we just would love to hear from more of you on shortwave. Christian Worship Hour, the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to get us, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's two things about that, ChristianWorshipHour.com. sometimes if people write in, you'd like to have the sermons, one of the sermons. And so we have all of our sermons. I think, maybe not all of them, but I think Kent said we have about 300 sermons on the internet, and you can get copies off of the internet, and there's no charge, and you just take all that you want. And also you can use the ChristianWorshipHour.com to send a gift. And there's a little place on there that says donate. And you just hit that donate. You, like one old fellow, he says, you take that button and you mash it. Well, you don't, I don't know if you want to smash it, but mash it. He meant just push it a little bit. And then you can send gifts from anywhere in the world. You can use your money, your currency, and it'll come in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. One other thing I want to mention about giving, and that is we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That means that they audit our books, and do they audit our books? They drive you crazy. And it proves that we receive every penny we get, and we spend every penny where we say, where we report it, report everything we spend. And with by and large, almost all of it goes for radio and television time. So you write to us, and then when you write, you can also, if you'd like to have a little Bible study, we have a Bible study for the month of November, and why I ought to give thanks. And it's called The New Song, The New Song. So you write to us The New Song, The Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. The box is easy, 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord lays on your heart. And if you, I know we'll get enough, we'll get just what the Lord wants us to have, and that's just fine with us. Heavenly Father, thank you for all those who support this work in their prayers and telling others and in giving. Bless us all and bless this work in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Thank you for your ministry of music. Appreciate it so much. We're reading from Acts chapter 16 today, and I know that some of you get all dressed up and get fixed up, and you have your Bibles and everything, and so you can turn to Acts chapter 16. And we're starting with verse 25. Paul and Silas are in prison, and they're put in prison for preaching the gospel. And the next day they might be put to death. They don't know what's going to happen to them. And so then we pick up the story, and they're in the prison at midnight. Verse 25 says, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house." Heavenly Father, we thank you for these men who gave thanks, though they thought the next day they might be put in prison. And as we approach our Thanksgiving this Sunday, this Thursday, we just pray, dear Lord, that you'll help us to be thankful people, not just that one day, but all the days, every day, all year round, and not just America, but all the nations of the world, because we're ministering to the nations, and all of us, every nation should be thankful to God. That's what your wonderful God. Did you give us the sun, and you give us the moon, and you give us the rain, and you give us our food, and you give us life. Our heart wouldn't take another beat if you didn't do it, Lord. And so we just love you, and we thank you, and we pray that in our service today that we will have a service of thanksgiving, and may it be also a time when your people draw closer to you. And those who don't know you will come and join the family of God. And those who have drifted away, Lord, it's easy to drift. That's happened to me. And it's easy to drift away, and they'll come back. And you'll always take them back with open arms. So just bless this service, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we're praying, thinking about those in prison today. We hear from so many from all over the country. And just help them to know that you love them. Help them to know that no matter what they've done, you'll forgive them fully. And you and St. Paul said that he saved him, and he said he was a chief of sinners. So if you can save the chief, you can save everybody. And may many in the prison turn to you today. And others in the prison, take courage. Shine for you. Be a witness. That's a mission field. And so just bless them. And then, Lord, we pray for the persecuted church in this week. We're thinking of the church in Yemen. And we know there's been some awful setbacks there and some revolutions. And the Christians always suffered. And the little children, we think of them. Some of them lose their parents. Some don't even know where their parents are. Some of the parents don't know what they've done with the children. And what a hard time they have. And help them, Lord, if they're listening on shortwave today, to know that we in America and all over the world, or the nations of the world, we're praying for them in Yemen today. And help them to know, Lord, that they're an encouragement to us, and we admire them, and we're better Christians because of their life. And so now bless us in this service, dear Lord. Help us to be thankful people. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Hank's going to sing for us, and he's got a song, All Because of Jesus. And God bless you, Hank.
There was something missing in my life. I knew that it was Jesus, but I held on with all my foolish pride, knowing I needed Jesus. By his wonderful grace, he drew me to the place where I surrendered to his Lord. Now my life will never be the same again, all because of Jesus. All because of Jesus, I walk a different road today. All because of Jesus, I feel his peace and joy every day. Jesus will fight every battle I face. Even death I'm not afraid of. My life will never be the same again, all because of Jesus. If your life is empty today, please turn to Jesus. And don't you worry what the people say. Just think about Jesus. He will forgive all your sin, give you power within to live with His peace and His love. And your life will never be the same again, all because of Jesus. All because of Jesus. I walk a different road today. All because of Jesus. I feel His peace and joy every day. Jesus will fight every battle I face. Even death I'm not afraid of. My life will never be the same again, all because of Jesus. No, my life will never be the same again, all because of Jesus.
Well, thank you, Hank. Dear brother, God bless you, and thanks for upholding Jesus, because that's what it's all about. Everything revolves around Jesus, wonderful Jesus. And this Thanksgiving season, that's where the spotlight needs to be, on that wonderful Savior. And remember what He said. He said that He was preparing a place for those that love Him, and it's a beautiful place. And John said, Paul said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard the wonderful things God prepared for those that love Him. And so Jesus talks about heaven, how wonderful it is. And then Thomas saith, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, listen to this, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then He got very narrow. And He said, no man comes to the Father but by Me. The way to heaven is a person. I love the church. I spend all my life in the church. The church is an institution of God. It's the custodian of the Word of God. But the church can't save you. Jesus. Jesus is the way. And if you have Jesus, you're going to be in heaven. And so that's what our emphasis today is about, as we think about our Thanksgiving time this season of the year, to be thankful. And so we have Paul and Silas in prison, and they're in the prison there because they've been preaching the gospel. And you know, today we have the persecuted church, and they're persecuted because of the gospel. Well, that started when the church was instituted in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And that's when the persecution started, because the persecution is led by the devil. And he's opposed to the work of Christ, and he's opposed to the church and the things of God. And so that's why the persecution comes, because of the devil, and he has a lot of help in it. And so Paul and Silas, they're preaching, and they're put in jail. And then we're in our scripture we just read, at midnight. That's the worst time of the night, isn't it? If you ever have a night you can't sleep, what's the worst time? Midnight. I don't know. I don't believe in spooks, but if there are spooks, they come at midnight, I'm sure. It's just the blackest, darkest time. And so you want to go and hide. You don't know what to do. Well, here Paul and Silas are in prison, and they're chained. They're in chains. And these men at midnight, so they could say, oh, God, here we are. We give our whole life to You, and we've been preaching for You, and we've been serving You, and we've been doing the best I can, and here we are. Look at us. We're in prison, and we might be put to death tomorrow. And they could be grumping like you can't believe. And we have some Christians like that. They stub their toe, and they have some little thing, and then God isn't treating them right. Well, I'm going to tell you something. These men give us a lesson. And at midnight, they're singing praises to Jesus. They're singing about Jesus. And all the prisoners, some of them, they don't want to go to church. They wouldn't go to church if they had to, but they had to, because they're in jail with Paul and Silas, and they're singing and they're preaching. And so that's the kind of congregation I'd like. They don't walk out on you, you know. I would tell a story about a young man years ago when I first started in the ministry. His name was Jerry, and he got a little trouble, not bad. And so the judge called me, and he says, "Ken, I just want to put this boy on probation." I don't know, he's about 18, 20 years old. So I want to put him on probation. And he says, "If can I, part of the orders, can I, stipulations, can I say he has to go to your church every Sunday morning?" I said, "You sure can. I'm looking for anybody I can get any way I can." And so he said, "You have to go to Pastor Salem's church for every Sunday morning." And so there he was, sitting in the back row where all the sinners sit, way in the back row as far as he could, almost sitting out in the parking lot. And he's in the back row and he preached. And then the next Sunday I looked for him, he was sick. He couldn't make it. And the second Sunday he was sick and he couldn't make it. Come to find out, he'd rather go to jail than come to my church and hear me preach. Well, Paul and Silas, they can't leave. They're in prison, and they're preaching, and they're singing. And then all of a sudden, the earthquake comes, and they're set free. And then the prison, and the keeper of the prison, he has his sword, and he's going to commit suicide. And the reason he's going to do that is because Rome says, if you're running a jail and you charge a jail, you lose a prisoner, you take the penalty that prisoner would have had. And they were going to be put to death. And that's why he'd rather commit suicide. And then Paul and Silas talked to him. And that's our message today. They were thankful people. And I see three things in this story. I think three, first of all, being thankful enlarges our lives. It makes us bigger. It makes us better. It helps us in our living. It works like this. If I'm still complaining all the time, looking and seeking and thinking about myself, if I'm centered on myself all the time, I shrink up and I shrivel up. And I think it was Dwight L. Moody says, a man all wrapped up in himself makes an awful small package. And that's exactly what happens. And so here these people are. And Jesus is telling us, if you do just the opposite, and if you think of others and give your life to others, you'll enlarge yourself and you'll grow spiritually and you'll be a great blessing to people. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 16, 25. He says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus is telling us here, he's warning us, the self-centered person, the complaining person, the selfish person, the person that just lives for himself, they become small people. They become narrow people. They shrivel up until they just live in their own little tiny world. Why? Because they limit their vision to see what God is doing for them and for others. They are always selfish people, and they always live for themselves and talk about themselves, and they shrivel up and they're self-centered. But on the other hand, those who think of others and give their life for others, and I think about the persecuted church, those dear people out on the front lines, they are living for the Lord and they're dying for the Lord, and they're the greatest people in the world because they have the whole world as their vision, and they have the whole kingdom of God as their vision, and they're living for the Lord and they're honoring him. So giving thanks and praise delivers us from smallness. It delivers us from selfishness. It gives true thanks and praise enlarges us. And so that's what we're told in Psalm 41. David says, chapter 4, verse 1, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. He was talking about distress. He's talking about troubles and trials. And when in the hardships of life, like Paul and Silas, when I think about you, it helps me. Even though the things may be adverse, I can become enlarged. I can think of others. I can care for others. I can be growing even while I have the prison chains on me. There was an invalid named Annie Johnson Flint, and she had this in mind, I think, when she wrote, as we offer our small rejoicing for the love that surround our days, all the wonderful works of thy goodness shall open before our gaze. Through the gates of our narrow thanksgiving, we shall enter thy courts of praise. And that thankful, rejoicing attitude will always be with us because, like Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 15, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. All the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. And again, he writes in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So being thankful generates more thanksgiving. Praising God only helps us to praise God more. And all of these things, it will enlarge our life and enlarge our outlook on life and help us that way. And then the second thing is, when we are thankful people, it makes praise worthy. It makes praise possible. We can't praise God unless we, from our heart, are really meaning it. You can't fake it. You can't pretend it with God. We can deceive a lot of people, but we can't deceive God. And true thanksgiving and praise then has to be genuine. And so here it is with Paul and Silas. They have this time when everything is against them. Everything is down on them. They may be put to death, but yet from their heart, they're singing for praise in God. And I read about these people in the persecuted church and how that even the time of troubles and trials, they're praising God and they're having their songs of praise and thanksgiving and how they learn to forgive and not hold a grudge. And oh, it is glorious. And I think that the great people of God are the people on the front lines in the persecuted church because they're paying for it and they're living above it and they're proving it is true that when we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the frame of mind that will be help us to be thankful, rejoicing people. And even in trials and tribulations, we rejoice. Paul and Silas did that. The persecuted church is doing that. And when you call on some shut-ins, you'll find them that they can't get out and they can't do anything. But when you talk to them and visit with them and minister to them, you come away with a blessing. Because even in their limited conditions, there are so many of them shine for Jesus. And so that's the way we really praise him, because when people, the world can see that and they say maybe we're having some troubles and trials and setbacks and maybe there are hardships with us, and yet in the midst of it all, we're loving Jesus, we're trusting Jesus and we're magnifying his name, and they'll say they're going against the tide. There's got to be something. They have something that I don't have and something that I want. I remember when I first started in the ministry, and we had a girl coming from high school, and she accepted the Lord. Her name was Peggy, and then she brought her mother, and one day her mother came forward and accepted Jesus. Her name was Esther. This has been in 1944, 1945, and I said, Esther, what was there in the message that spoke to you that you came forward? See, I'm kind of fishing to see. You had an awful good message, see. And so I said, what was there in the message that really spoke to your heart? And she says, well, really nothing. That was good news. It's really nothing. She says, but Peggy's life has changed since she came to Jesus. And I want what she has. And she lived that life. And I know Peggy, they get our war service and she'll watch this. And that's what she did. She brought her mother to life for the Lord through her living. And that's what Paul and Silas are doing. And so we have to just be growing and looking out and seeing needs and shining for the Lord wherever we are. Enlarge our vision. Look for greater things. Do more things. Touch more people. There's so many hurting people. We see them all the day. In our Christian worship hour, we get letters from people that are having hard times, terrible times. And sometimes we just shed a tear when we read their letters. And we pass our prayers among our staff. And we pray for you. And just get that, so we're looking to seeing the other people and seeing their names and seeing just we don't have their name. Maybe we have don't have their name, but we can pray for them and love them and help them. So that's what Paul did, Paul and Silas. And Dwight L. Moody one time said, you need to be thankful people, because he says, he will use this Psalm 103 and he talks about it. He says, and forget not all his benefits. And Dwight L. Moody said, you can't remember them all, but don't forget them all. Remember some of them. And at this Thanksgiving time, we need to just be people that are thankful to the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord and showing that. And maybe we do stub our toe, and maybe we do have a heart ache, and maybe we do have pains, and maybe we do have setbacks. And the drought in our part of the United States, of South Dakota, has been hard on us. But we still give that thank. And in the midst of the drought, we give thanks and praise to God. That's the thing that counts. Charles Haddon Spurgeon used to say that God's people are prone to write their blessings in the sand, but engrave their trials in marble. And so that's just exactly what happens so many times. We think of all the hard things, the bitter things, the sour things, and we don't think of the good things and the wonderful things that God gives us. And then last of all, I put down, being thankful wins people to Christ. The unsaved world is sick and tired of hearing how bad things are going with you. Some people, you ask them how they're feeling, and they give you an organ recital. And they tell you every organ in their body that isn't functioning well, and some of the parts has been removed. And you're scared to ask them how they feel, how they're getting along. Don't be that kind of a person. Whether an unsaved person asks the Christians, how are you today? You say, oh, God, I was just sitting there. I would bless his name. I was just sitting there thinking, praising the Lord for what he's done for me and how he's helped me and watched over me and blessed my soul. I just think of the Lord all of the time. Witness for the Lord. That's going to be through the unbeliever. He's going to wonder if you've had a stroke. That here you are, you're sick in bed, and you're praising Jesus. And he just doesn't understand that. And then he'll get to seeing, how can they do that? And there's something there, something in their heart, something in their heart that no one can't just get rid of it. They're singing for the Lord. And that's what the story in this chapter of 16th chapter of Acts, the Philippian jailer. And when he saw how in the life of Paul and Silas, how they didn't run, how they sang for Jesus, and then they were free and they didn't run. He knew they had something he wanted. And he said, what must I do to be saved? He's saying to Paul and Silas, what do I have to do to be like you? That's exactly what he was saying. And I want to tell you, the long-faced Christian, that's not going to win people to the Lord. It wasn't the earthquake that shook the jail and half to pieces. That wasn't the thing that caused him to ask that question, what must I do to be saved? It was the singing. It was the thanking. It was the praising of Paul and Silas, two Christian men who, under awful duress and possible death at midnight, they singing praises to God. No, it wasn't the earthquake that brought that man to Jesus. It was a Christian people singing the praises of God. And so it was out of the hardship and suffering of these two men, they thank God in the middle of the night. They thank God in the worst of conditions, and they were brought to the Lord. So Paul writes, and he tells us in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Someone singing the praises of God, happy and joyful, giving thanks and praise, though they have adverse circumstances, those are the ones that are going to mark. That's the ones that are going to make the difference. And so it was. Some of the greatest servants of the Lord, I was just checking on some of them. I read about Martin Luther, the great reformer. Do you think of him as a kind of a sour and a dour face, sober as a judge, because he went through some terrible troubles in the Reformation? But if you think that, you're thinking wrong, because biographers of Luther tell us he abounded in playful humor and mirth. Yeah, he wasn't afraid to laugh. They say he to be happy in the Lord his God. And as a consequence, he drew thousands of people to Christ and to the walking with the Lord because of the way he lived. A man could be thanking and praising God. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon, I think of him so often. What a great man he was. And yet he had times when he had terrible headaches that put him in bed for times on end. And yet he was the great preacher of London. And he was a man who loved the Lord and sang for the Lord and spoke for the Lord. And we read of one time, one of the Spurgeon, they criticized Spurgeon for being happy in the pulpit. And sometimes he would just sit back and laugh. He'd be thinking something in the pulpit and he'd just laugh out loud. And in those days, you know, when you didn't laugh in church, I went to church when I first was a boy. You never had a joke in church. You never laughed in church. It was pretty sober business. And here's this man in London, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and he's laughing in church. And they asked him one time, they criticized him for being laughing in church and being happy in church. And Spurgeon said, "If only you knew how much I hold back, you would commend me. This preacher thinks it less a crime to cause a momentary laughter than a half hour of profound slumber." And so I took joy in that, because they slept on Spurgeon, they slept on me. Oh, Lord, have they slept in my services. But that you just go on anyway and just preach that wonderful world. So Spurgeon and Luther and many others, and so they live for the Lord. So let me close in this Thanksgiving sermon and say, it has to be a real happiness. You can't put it on, you know. You can't fool people, and you can't. But you have, and the only way to have that is to have Christ in your life. You have to receive Him personally. You have to know Him personally. And it is so simple and so easy that a child can do it. I did it when I was 10 years old, way out in the country, and I didn't know up from down. I thought a football coach had four wheels. I didn't know anything about anything. But when that man preached, that evangelist, Vernon Eggebrotten, he preached about all of our righteousness like filthy rags. And Jesus wants to come and He wants to clothe us. He talked about the Good Samaritan, left him in bloody garments, beaten up and left. And there was, and I remember him preaching this, Eggebrotten preaching, and he says, and you can put on clean clothes. Jesus will put on clean clothes, be His righteousness. And I didn't understand all that. But I knew that I wanted Jesus, and I accepted Jesus. And you just pray, and you just say, "Dear Jesus, I've sinned against You." And He knows that, but He wants you to confess it. "Dear Jesus, I've sinned against You, and I just ask You to come into my heart and take away my sin." And He'll take it all away. And you promise to make Him the Lord of your life. "I'm going to serve You, Jesus. And I'm going to make You my master. And I'm going to be Your servant." And then thank You, Jesus. Be sure to thank Him. Now you make that prayer, and you have genuine joy and happiness. And I don't say that everything's going to break just right for you. I don't believe in this hell on this. Or everybody's going to get rich if they accept Jesus. And you always find a parking place, and everything will go wrong. Everything will go right. Things may go wrong. Look at Job. God says that Job was the most righteous man on the face of the earth in his day. God said that. And yet Job, how he suffered in the loss of his property and all of his animals, and he lost his children, and he lost his home, and he lost his health, and he's going to die. And his wife tells him, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" And Job, what did he say? "Though he slay me, yet will I trust Him." That you can have that if you have Jesus and just submit to Him like Paul and Silas and say, "Yes, I'm going to live for You, and I've got my trials and troubles, and we'll have them as long as we live." Because Jesus tells us in John 6, verse 33, "In this world you'll have tribulation." He told us that. He says that Christians are going to have tribulation in this world. But He also said, "But be of good joy, I have overcome the world." And so when we get right with Jesus and we have Him in our heart and we submit to Him and surrender to Him, we have that wonderful joy and that wonderful peace. And you may have sickness and you may have setback and you may have troubles and trials. It probably will. But that peace will never take away. The world can't give it to you and the world can't take it from you. And you have it by accepting Jesus. I hope you've done that. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us and we'll send you some literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. you write to us and send us a gift if you can, because we have to pay our bills just like anybody else. And or if you have a question, we'll try to answer your question. If you've accepted Jesus, or maybe you drifted away and you're coming back to Jesus, maybe you want to get the new song, our little Bible study, whatever it is, you write to us. And those of you on shortwave, get it again here. It's the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. USA. And wouldn't it be something if we got a letter from some of you in North Korea or some of those places? Because we pray for you all the time. We just love to hear from you. But the main thing is accept Jesus and rest in Him. And then you'll have a Christmas. You'll have a Thanksgiving that'll be better than a Christmas. It'll be the great day of your life when you ask Jesus into your life. So now we're going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time we've had together. We just thank you for your people have worshiped with us. We thank you for the multitudes, Lord, that have just prayed to receive you. All over the world, there are people praying right now and taking you into their heart. And there are people all over the world, they've drifted away and they're coming back. And your arms are wide open and you're taking them to your heart. And you give them forgiveness and you give them strength and help. We pray for these dear people, Lord. We want to pray for the shut-ins today, Lord. We want to pray for those who are on beds of sickness and can't get around. We pray for the young people, Lord, that are having so many temptations and trials. And we're praying for the children, the beautiful children, that they can also accept Jesus. So we put all of these things in your hands, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we want to thank you all for being with us. Thank you for your letters. Thank you for your gifts. And next week we're going to start our Christmas. We're going to have a sermon next week. And I know it's going to bless your heart. So you tune us in and tell your friends and be sure to write to us. And whatever you do, pray for the Christian Worship Hour. And just remember that God loves you and we love you. And together we'll be serving the Lord, and someday we'll all be together in heaven. And won't that be something? So God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.